You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up today at 6 on 1A+, three missions to Mars have spent the last 7 months hurtling through space. This month, they arrive, opening a new era of space exploration. Jen White has that story for you today at 6 on 1A+. Now, our next guest says the insect world is undergoing death by a thousand cuts. New research shows a number of issues, including climate change, insecticides, light pollution, and others, are killing off 1-2% of insects each year. Among the most well-known species experiencing declines in population are honeybees and monarch butterflies. And a lot of these species play an important role in ecosystems, the food supply, and waste management. So what can we do about it? David Wagner is an entomologist and professor of ecology and evolutionary biology at the University of Connecticut. David, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
How significant is this 1-2% annual decline in the insect world?
Well, I think it's not catastrophic, but alarming. It's hard to convey to the average person what 1-2% per year means. It doesn't sound like very much, but imagine that you had a $2 million home on a kind of wild river in Wisconsin, and each year you lost 1-2% of your land to erosion. After a decade, you might have 15-20% of your land gone. And after 4 years or so, or four decades, you might be, your house might be in the river. And so you really could lose everything over a period of say, 3 decades or 4 decades.
What are some of the causes? And it sounds like there's a lot of different things going on here.
I know. We call it death by a thousand cuts, and that's the bad news. If you look at the monarch or the honeybee, and we know an awful lot about those insects, they're iconic. It's multiple stressors. It's climate change, but especially droughts. Sometimes it's pathogens from other countries that's certainly affecting the honeybee. And so in many cases, it has to do with habitat loss and the industrialization of agriculture. Climate change is huge and going to be playing an ever increasing role, but it's in, exotic species and urbanization and pesticides and so many other things.
Before we get to possible solutions here, I want to look at consequences. First of all, people talk about ecological services being done for humans by a bunch of different wildlife species. What kind of things do we lose when we lose insects?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is pollination. A lot of our fruits and nuts and vegetable crops have to be pollinated. Apples are the obvious one, but it's true of almonds and so many other crops. Maybe 80% of the plants on the planet are pollinated by insects. We want them. If you want, Wisconsin's beautiful spring wildflower displays, you have to have insects or those will all go away. If you want to have bird songs in the spring, you have to have insects to feed those birds, but especially for those mothers and fathers to feed their nestlings. Those nestlings eat practically their weight per day in insects. So, but we're also talking about soil formation, cleaning of our waters, and even in air. And so all of these things that we need in terms of nutrient cycling and pollination and removal of dung and carrion, it's all carried out by insects. They're really sort of the fabric of our forests and our streams and various ecosystems in Wisconsin.
And I don't want to be human-centric. You mentioned birds. What other ecosystem impact does a decline in insects potentially have?
Well, I mean, just the major thing is just how nutrients are cycled. They are what tether together freshwater streams and lakes and all of our land-based or terrestrial ecosystems. It's the tapestry of life. They are the webbing in food webs, and you just can't remove that at 1-2% per year without having these cascading consequences that affect the plants looking downward or affect all these birds and the wildlife looking upward.
Talking to David Wagner, entomologist and professor of ecology and evolutionary biology at the University of Connecticut, looking at long-term declines in insect populations around the world and what we can do about it. And David, on the show here, I've talked to people in the state about a monarch butterfly project where people and property owners and highway departments are encouraged to plant and leave in place things like milkweed to help migratory monarch butterflies. Is that an example of the kind of thing that we could be doing to turn around these numbers?
Absolutely. And the monarch is so iconic and so powerful for kids and children to watch that metamorphosis. It's a parable or an analogy of their own development. And I think when they watch that caterpillar turn into a beautiful butterfly, it conveys something hopeful about their own development and growth. And it's exciting. And you get to see it over 2 weeks of time. It's something that really rivets our attentions and our heart. And I would think that preserving monarchs or protecting them would be high on our list anywhere in the Midwest, particularly with all the oceans of soy and corn that are out there. They're, you know, eliminating their habitat. But I think even more importantly might be just rewilding part of our yard. And, you know, make some little portion of your yard a little nature observatory for your children. But just wildlife in general, you know, leave a little more room for Mother Nature. And, you know, that just some part of it that's maybe not cut, and that would cut down on your pesticide usage and any chemicals you're putting on your lawns. So I really love that. The most important thing people can do, individuals can do, of course, is to vote and to promote environmental policies. I think that has the biggest footprint or long-term effect.
You mentioned pesticides. What kind of changes would you like to see that, even if we're still using pesticides, maybe we're using them more judiciously in ways that don't indiscriminately wipe out insect populations?
Well, yeah, I think we could make agriculture more friendly. So I think there's going to be pressure and interest in making room some wild habitats within these seas of soybean and corn and other types of agriculture. But this is an alarming fact. More pesticides in the United States are put on lawns and in commercial areas than they are in agriculture, which is phenomenal. So I think one way we can all help is just rolling back the cosmetic uses of pesticides in any way that we can.
Some of those bigger picture issues like climate change and the international transport of diseases from, you know, one place to another, those are harder, it seems like, to stop at an individual level. What kind of things would you like to see national governments do and maybe international cooperation do to try to tackle those problems?
Well, I'm scared to death by climate change. I mean, I don't think Wisconsin is going to be affected nearly to the degree that many other nations around the world are going to be affected. I'm seeing the West drying out. It breaks my heart. And so the declines are much faster there. But I think the most alarming thing for us to realize in the Northern Hemisphere is that the tropics appear to be drying out. And that's absolutely the cradle of Mother Nature and diversity and just absolutely fabulous numbers of birds and frogs and insects and butterflies and what have you. And there's these early indications coming out of Costa Rica are quite scary, that they're seeing much faster rates of decline than we're seeing here in temperate zones. And these tropical organisms have never seen droughts or experienced them. And these are going to be a commonplace. But climate change is also really important for people to think about because it has so many knock-on effects. You know, I think too many people think about climate change in terms of global warming, and they're hearing from scientists 1 or 2 degrees centigrade. Well, what the heck does that mean? But I think you should actually, when you hear climate change, I think more serious are droughts. And so we're going to see very big changes in precipitation. We're going to see stronger storms. You've already heard about it. The first hurricanes and typhoons with winds over 200 miles an hour. These are the kinds of things that are really going to have impacts. You know, places in Wisconsin that always had good snow cover, they're not going to have good snow cover. And so all these animals that were hunkering under the snow or overwintering under the snow are going to be exposed to freezing conditions, really harsh conditions that they've never experienced in hundreds and hundreds of years. So it's these knock-on effects of droughts, of floods, of really strong storms, and all these fires, these horrific fires that we're hearing about in the Amazon and California and Australia. That's climate change related.
Do you have, as we wrap up, David, any hopeful signs out there you could share with us?
Well, sure. There's a lot more interest. You know, there's things like iNaturalist where there's a lot more people, lawyers and doctors and kids and parents working with their kids about using these nature, like iNaturalist applications, all the information they can find on the web. There's a tremendous surge nationally, interest in insects. You know, kids want to plant, you know, want to see these bugs. People are planting pollinator gardens. They're photographing these animals with their cell phones and uploading the images with artificial intelligence that can identify these things within seconds. And it's fun. It's a sport. We're collecting data every time they take a picture with their cell phone and upload it. There's a lot of funding coming from government. There's a lot of papers and information coming out about what people can do in their own yards. And so there's a lot now. We want to give people agency, you know, and they want to be part of the solution. And we really, you know, no matter what's coming down the Anthropocene and the pike, I think people want to help. And it's really important to give them agency. And we're seeing it.
David, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Okay. It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
David Wagner is an entomologist and professor of ecology and evolutionary biology at the University of Connecticut. We talked to him about some new research he led showing that climate change, insecticides, and other issues are killing off 1 to 2% of the global insect population each year.